Harry walked quickly from the office and down the spiral staircase. His mind was oddly clear all of a sudden. He knew what to do. Ron and Hermione were sitting together in the common room when he came back. "What does he want?" Hermione said at once. "Harry, are you okay?" she added anxiously. "I'm fine," said Harry shortly, racing past them. He dashed up the stairs and into his dormitory, where he flung open his trunk and pulled out the Marauder's map and a pair of balled-up socks. Then he sped back down the stairs and into the common room, skidding to a halt where Ron and Hermione sat, looking stunned.
"I've got to be quick," Harry panted. "Dumbledore thinks I'm getting my invisibility cloak. Listen."
Quickly, he told them where he was going and why. He did not pause either for Hermione's gasps of horror or for Ron's hasty questions. They could work out the finer details for themselves later.
"So you see what this means?"
Harry finished at a gallop. "Dumbledore won't be here tonight, so Malfoy's going to have another clear shot at whatever he's up to."
"No, listen to me," he hissed angrily, as both Ron and Hermione showed every sign of interrupting. "I know it was Malfoy celebrating in the Room of Requirement. Here."
He shoved the Marauder's map into Hermione's hands.
"You've got to watch him, and you've got to watch Snape, too. Use anyone else who you can rustle up from the DA, Hermione. Those contact galleons will still work, right? Dumbledore says he's put extra protection in the school. But if Snape's involved, he'll know what Dumbledore's protection is and how to avoid it. But he won't be expecting you lot to be on the watch, will he?"
"Harry,"
began Hermione, her eyes huge with fear.
"I haven't got time to argue," said Harry curtly. "Take this as well."
He thrust the socks into Ron's hands.
"Thanks," said Ron.
Why do I need socks?"
"You need what's wrapped in them. It's the Felix Felicis. Share it between yourselves and Ginny, too. Say goodbye to her for me. I'd better go. Dumbledore's waiting."
"No,"
said Hermione, as Ron unwrapped the tiny little bottle of golden potion, looking awestruck.
"We don't want it. You take it. Who knows what you're going to be facing?"
"I'll be fine. I'll be with Dumbledore," said Harry. "I want to know you lot are okay."
"Don't look like that, Hermione. I'll see you later."
And he was off, hurrying back through the portrait hole and toward the entrance hall. Dumbledore was waiting beside the oaken front doors. He turned as Harry came skidding out onto the topmost stone step, panting hard, a searing stitch in his side.
"I would like you to wear your cloak, please," said Dumbledore,
and he waited until Harry had thrown it on before saying,
"Very good. Shall we go?"
Dumbledore set off at once down the stone steps, his own travelling cloak barely stirring in the still summer air. Harry hurried alongside him under the invisibility cloak, still panting and sweating rather a lot.
"But what will people think when they see you leaving, Professor?"
Harry asked, his mind on Malfoy and Snape.
"That I am off into Hogsmeade for a drink," said Dumbledore lightly. "I sometimes offer Ross Myrtle my custom, or else visit the Hogshead, or I appear to. It is as good a way as any of disguising one's true destination."
They made their way down the drive in the gathering twilight. The air was full of the smells of warm grass, lake water, and wood smoke from Hagrid's cabin. It was difficult to believe that they were heading for anything dangerous or frightening.
"Professor,"
said Harry quietly as the gates at the bottom of the drive came into view,
"will we be apparating?"
"Yes," said Dumbledore. "You can apparate now, I believe."
"Yes," said Harry, "but I haven't got a license."
He felt it best to be honest. What if he spoiled everything by turning up 100 miles from where he was supposed to go?
"No matter," said Dumbledore. "I can assist you again."
They turned out of the gates into the twilight deserted lane to Hogsmeade. Darkness descended fast as they walked, and by the time they reached the high street, night was falling in earnest. Lights twinkled from windows over shops, and as they neared the Three Broomsticks, they heard raucous shouting.
"And stay out!"
shouted Madame Ross Myrtle, forcibly ejecting a grubby-looking wizard.
"Oh, hello, Albus. You're out late."
"Good evening, Ross Myrtle. Good evening. Forgive me, I'm off to the Hogshead. No offence, but I feel like a quieter atmosphere tonight."
A minute later, they turned the corner into the side street where the Hogshead sign creaked a little, though there was no breeze. In contrast to the three broomsticks, the pub appeared to be completely empty.
"It will not be necessary for us to enter," muttered Dumbledore, glancing around, "as long as nobody sees us go. Now place your hand upon my arm, Harry. There is no need to grip too hard. I am merely guiding you. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Harry turned. At once there was that horrible sensation that he was being squeezed through a thick rubber tube. He could not draw breath. Every part of him was being compressed almost past endurance. And then, just when he thought he must suffocate, the invisible bands seemed to burst open, and he was standing in cool darkness, breathing in lungfuls of fresh, salty air.